The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, and we can consider the words of verse 6 this evening. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, as the Lord enables us. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As we have been trying to demonstrate, the Beatitudes are essentially graces of the Holy Spirit in the soul. And all of these graces are proceeding out of the one that goes before it. And of course, it's not something that is mechanical. It's not something that can be switched on or switched off. These graces are exercised in the soul through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in the soul. So, as you can see, and as we have been endeavouring to explain, being poor in spirit necessarily leads on to the individual mourning over his or her sins. And that in turn leads on to the grace of meekness coming into exercise also. And as we said on the last occasion, meekness is not weakness. Moses is described in the scriptures as the meekest man that ever lived, and although he was indeed a humble man of God, nevertheless, he took control of the children of Israel and led them out of their captivity in Egypt, which required no small amount of resolve as well as humility. Now we want to come to the next of the Beatitudes. And you'll notice the first three Beatitudes, being poor in spirit, mourning and meekness, are teaching us to look in and discover these graces in ourselves. But the fourth one here, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, is teaching us not to look in, but to look out. To look out of ourselves. To look out of ourselves. And in that respect, it's teaching us our own emptiness, and therefore to look out of ourselves to the one who has everything. We have nothing in and of ourselves, but being taught to hunger and thirst after righteousness is teaching us to look to the one who has everything. Now, with that brief introduction, I want to consider with you then this particular blessing or beatitude here in verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. All mankind have a natural desire for happiness. We all crave to be happy. And we are all consequently looking for something to make us feel happy. Everyone wants to feel fulfilled. And that's what we've got here at the end of verse 6. When people want to be filled, they want to be fulfilled. They want satisfaction out of life. They want to feel a sense of fulfillment in their own lives. For example, young folk today, and in every day and age, are looking to fulfill their dreams and their wishes. They're looking to have their ambitions satisfied. And they go in pursuit of fulfilling all their ambitions. That is exactly what the prodigal son did when he left his father's house. He wanted to fulfill the ambitions that he had. Now, let's look at the older folk. What do they tend to say? Well, very often the older generation use the phrase, "We've been there, done that, and we've got the t-shirt." They've, to some extent, tried to have a fulfilling kind of life. Everyone wants to do something in order to make them feel happy. And it shows us, all of us, that there is something that is fundamentally wrong with us. There is something wrong. That we all feel a sense of emptiness and a lack of fulfillment in life. There is a longing after something that will make us feel happier. Now, on the authority of our text here tonight, verse 6, I want to say that we all look for happiness, but it's in all the wrong places. We all look for happiness in everything and in everyone, but where we should look for it. I want you to notice that happiness or blessedness is not attained to by hungering and thirsting after happiness and blessedness in and of itself, but by hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Notice that. We might think that if we take up certain pursuits and follow our dreams, that we will find true happiness. But true happiness is bound up in our text with righteousness. Notice that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. In other words, the seeking of this righteousness is the way, the only way to true happiness. Whereas what man does is he seeks happiness without first seeking the righteousness. He turns it round and he puts the cart before the horse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Most people put the pursuit of happiness at the very top of their list. Most people look for happiness without thinking at all of the way to true happiness, which is righteousness. And so this word righteousness in our text is very important for us to consider here this evening, because it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of the soul through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 23rd chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah, he speaks of the Lord our righteousness. And he speaks of him as a righteous branch. Now you know that a branch springs forth. It grows out of the stalk or from the trunk. And that is speaking of Jesus Christ incarnate, springing from the womb of the Virgin. He is the branch in his humanity, and he coming into this world has provided a righteousness for sinners who have none of their own. Paul speaks of this righteousness of Christ too in writing to the church at Rome in chapter 3. And he speaks of this righteousness of Christ as being received through faith or by faith. And it includes all that Christ did and all that Christ suffered on the cross. That is what we mean by his righteousness. The obedient path that he walked through in this world, and his obedience unto death on the cross. That is Christ's righteousness. And to have Christ by faith, the sinner has the righteousness of Christ. And then you are on your way to happiness. Then you are on your way to happiness. True happiness. Now, I'm not promoting for one moment what is called the prosperity gospel. That's these preachers that are mostly based in the United States who teach that when one becomes a Christian, your whole life will suddenly change for the better, and you will be going around with a smile on your face every day. That's not the case at all. The Saviour nowhere teaches that. Indeed, he teaches the very opposite of that. The very opposite of that. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And anybody who knows what persecution is knows that when they are being persecuted, they're certainly not going round with a smile on their face. So the prosperity gospel here is not what is being spoken of at all. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that when the sinner comes to believe, he or she has imputed to them a righteousness, a robe of righteousness that covers them over so that all their sins are then freely forgiven them and they are admitted into the favour of God. That's the first element in this righteousness that is spoken of here. And there's not a happier person, there's not a more blessed person in the whole world than the person who has the righteousness of Christ imputed to him or her and received by faith, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism says. It has nothing to do whatsoever with the outward appearance of the person. The person to you and to me might well look very sad, but that is the most blessed person in the whole world, the one who is clothed with the righteousness of Christ by faith. But can we look at this word righteousness in another way also? Surely once the sinner is saved and clothed with the righteousness of Christ received by faith, surely that person then begins to live righteously. To live righteously. And that is another aspect of this righteousness. Not only is there the outward righteousness of Christ, which becomes the sinner's by faith, but there is an inner righteousness, an inner integrity in that person's soul. It's an integrity that is on the inside that follows from the righteousness that is placed on the outside. And it boils down to this. Justification by faith is followed by sanctification. The sinner who is saved is justified by the righteousness of Christ imputed to them and received by faith alone. And so that sinner is saved for time and for all eternity. That sinner can never be lost. But that sinner now comes to be sanctified. And in that respect, justification is an act of God, whereas sanctification is the work of God. Justification is an act. It is done at once and forever. But sanctification, on the other hand, which goes on in the soul, is a work. It is a work. And this work of sanctification brings an inward desire that corresponds with our outward state. If you can take that in. Sanctification produces an inward desire for holiness that corresponds to the outward state of the person. In other words, justification is our title to heaven. Sanctification, on the other hand, is our fitness for heaven. And the sanctification that follows from justification is a preparation for heaven. So this righteousness includes the righteousness of Christ for us, as well as the inward righteousness or holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So that's the word righteousness here before us. Now, when we come to hungering and thirsting after righteousness, these terms, hungering and thirsting, are expressive of desires that people have. It's a sign of good health, in other words, to have an appetite. It's a sign of good health to feel the need for water to quench your thirst. Very often when we are unwell, we have no appetite at all. There's no desire to eat. But surely hungering and thirsting here is a sign of life. I've never heard of a dead person hungering or thirsting for anything. A dead person doesn't have any feelings or senses of any kind. There's no desire to eat, no desire to drink. And those who have spiritual death reigning in their own souls, they too have no desire to eat and no desire to drink. But here in this text we read that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. So it is only those who are alive from the dead, spiritually, who hunger and thirst. It is only the living person who needs to eat and who needs to drink. So the hungering and the thirsting in our text are signs of life. These are signs of spiritual life in the soul. Now, if you're seeking the Lord here tonight, that's a sign of life in your own soul. You're beginning to hunger and you're beginning to thirst after Christ. That's a sign of life. It's to be aware, to some extent, of your own sinful condition of soul. That's a sign of life in the soul. Spiritual life. The dead are not aware of that. The spiritually dead are not aware of anything of that kind. It takes those who are quickened by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in the Gospel to become aware of their needs. The one who is hungering and thirsting has been made aware of his or her needs as a sinner. And consequently, that sinner comes to long for him. We were singing it here in Psalm 42 tonight at the beginning of that psalm. Look at what the psalmist says at the beginning of Psalm 42. My soul for God, the living God, doth thirst. When shall I near unto thy countenance approach and in God's sight appear? He's comparing himself like the hart or the deer running to the waters in verse 1 to drink, because the animal has sensed that it is thirsty. That's what he's comparing himself to. Only in the sense that he's thirsting after the living God because he is alive himself. And so, the living soul hungers and thirsts for the living God and Jesus Christ in him to be their Saviour, to be the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. Now, this hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after Christ, is a hungering and a thirsting to be like Christ, to be more and more like him. Having been saved by him, they now want to be like him. They want to be like Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, the apostle's great aim was to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the righteousness of Christ. But then he goes on to say, later on in chapter 3, now I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the ideas of a runner in a race, looking towards the white finishing line. That's the aim, that's the mark. And Christ is that white finishing line. He is that mark that you and I are aiming as his people to come up to. And that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 42. So pants my longing soul after thee. You remember the prodigal son again. When he was there in the far country and he said, I perish here with hunger. With hunger. And in his hunger, where does he go? He returns to the Father's house. Now the Father in that parable is not to be considered as God the Father, but Jesus Christ himself. In his hunger, he's coming to this one, back to the house of his Father, back to Jesus Christ. That's the mark. That's the standard, and that is where he was filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they
shall be filled.
See that? Fulfillment. Fulfillment is what everyone wants in life. But the prodigal had fulfillment in Christ. And in Christ alone, this fulfillment is found for time and for all eternity. Now, if it's any consolation to you and to me here tonight, before we close, Christ calls those blessed who are hungering and thirsting. And no one hungers or thirsts unless they feel the need. Unless they feel the need. There are plenty of people who are full up, as it were, with the world, and they don't feel their need of anything. They don't feel their need of anything. Plenty of them. But it's those who are empty that are spoken of here as the blessed, who have come to feel their own emptiness and who are seeking fulfillment in Christ. The Pharisees, they were full of a righteousness of their own. They were full with a righteousness of their own. And if we are full up, we aren't hungry or thirsty at all. But if we know anything of our own heart at all, and how empty we all really are, we will hunger and thirst after Christ, so that we might be filled. And this is the way to true happiness. The only way to true happiness is to find fulfillment in Christ. Plenty of people are seeking happiness for happiness' sake. For happiness' sake. But the right way to seek happiness is through Christ. And you will be happy forever in heaven. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray. We pray that thou wouldst follow with thy blessing on thy word and help each one of us to go home this night seeking thee for whom thou art and for the blessings that thou dost bestow. Oh, we would be praising thee for time and all eternity, if thou wouldst do for us what needs to be done to us, that we might be saved and come to enjoy the life that shall never end. Forgive us our sins for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to conclude then by singing.